morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all this world. Give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all of this world. Give me Jesus. Just about the break of day. Just about the break of day. Just about the break of day. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all this world. Give me Jesus. Oh, when I come to die. Oh, when I come to die. Oh, when I come to die. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all this world. Give me Jesus.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, John chapter 21, verse 17. And I shall read this in your hearing. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
How are the young kids doing?
Very good.
Ah, all right. All right. Our kids are so quiet, you never notice them, you know, so sometimes I got to make sure they're still around.
Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father God, I ask that you will guide us in this as we open up your word. I pray that you'll give us ears to hear, minds to understand, I pray that our focus will be on you and our attention will be directed at you, and that we'll hear you and see you. And I pray that we will possibly see you in a newer, better light, that we could come to understand you more, and as we come to understand you more, our love for you will grow. Forgive us for our sins, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, wasn't feeling well. And it takes a lot sometimes. I had a conversation with a lady when we were on Hoosick Street. And she went to describe how going to church saved her life. And so she said, you know, it really takes a lot for her to not come to church. I mean, you really got to be not feeling well. And so I've kind of tried to take on that, but last week was just a tough one. But while being home, I had an opportunity to look at the book of John, the Gospel of John. And I know we studied it in Sabbath school some time back, but, you know, John, the Gospel of John is just this unique book. Some of you is anyone aware of the synoptic gospels? You ever hear this term, the synoptic gospels? I used to hear it, but I never knew what it meant. All right, I'll be very honest. So I started looking this up. Well, what does the synoptic gospel mean? Well, basically, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar. Got a lot of the same stories, same parables, same ideas. I mean, they all have their own unique perspective, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke have this very similar flow, so they're synoptic. John is like this one that sticks out, completely different. And it's as if John is addressing a different crowd, or as if John just has a different way of seeing things. He doesn't even talk about the baptism of Jesus, doesn't even deal with that. Doesn't get into the whole, you know, there was Mary. He doesn't talk about Jesus' birth and all these nice things that we read about. You don't find that in John. John instead starts off his message just saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's all theology. John is dealing with people who, these Gnostics, and he's trying to combat this idea of, you know, Jesus couldn't be God and couldn't be man. And rather than just wait to get through it, to it slowly, he just starts off his gospel and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, and we got to see him, and we got to feel him. And so John just starts this off. And so it's amazing to me that someone who's not synoptic, you know, someone who kind of marches to his own tune, someone who writes his own type of gospel, how would he end it? When he's all done, when he's looking back over the years, and again, it's not as though they wrote the gospel as it was happening. They wrote these gospels long time after it had taken place. And so they decided, this is what I'll write. This is what I'm going to write down. This is what I'm going to record. And so as John looks back, and he's writing about the life of Christ, how's he going to end it? What does he leave us with? What does he leave the reader with that he thinks is just extremely important? And it centers around, as far as it centers around this question: do you love me? Do you love me? The chapter itself, John chapter 21, there's so much in it. I can't even cover it all in one sitting. I can't cover it all in one sermon, but. If anyone has ever been discouraged, has anyone ever been discouraged? Even the little kids raise their hands. Amen. Has anyone ever been distraught? Have you ever had a situation where you thought you understood God and you were just walking along in your life and you thought you got it all right, and all of a sudden something happens and it's like, wait a minute, what? And something happens in your life and you question everything. You question everything that you ever thought, everything that you ever believed, because now God has done something that you completely didn't expect. God has caused something to happen in your life that you just completely weren't ready for, and it's just got you, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. And so John starts to, takes off in his last chapter, and this is what has happened. You know, Jesus, who they thought was going to set up this kingdom on earth, and he's already, and all the disciples are geared for that. And the next thing you know, in the blink of an eye, he's crucified.
This Jesus who they're waiting for him to do something. They're waiting for everything to lead up to this kingdom. And all of a sudden, he's crucified. And so he's crucified, and then he's resurrected, and he appears to them once. And then he appears to them again. And then in John chapter 21, if you could turn your Bibles, you already probably have it there, but John chapter 21, just want to look at how he ends this. John chapter 21, and I'm going to start from verse 3. Good amount of reading, but we'll just start from verse 3. When you get it, say amen. John chapter 21, starting from verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, and I'm going to add my own little. In the King James, he says, I go a-fishing. Simon Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went forth and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they weren't even able to draw for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, and dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples asked him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes the bread and gives them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus says unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep.
You can stop.
Here they are in the midst of this unknown. Jesus has now thrown them a curveball in their life, and it's unclear as to what the next day is going to hold. And if you've ever been there where something's happened and all of a sudden something trips you up in life and you can't understand it and you can't make sense of it, you know, sometimes you just say, that's it, I'm going fishing. Peter just in the middle of it all, Peter's just like, you know what? I don't know what to do. This doesn't make sense. I'm going fishing. Sometimes we might say, you know what? I'm going shopping or I'm going out to eat. I'm going into the Cheesecake Factory just to make myself feel good. You can't understand it. So Peter goes back to what he does and what he knows. He knows fishing. He's a fisherman, so in all of this chaos, he delves into what he understands. He doesn't understand Jesus because none of this is making sense at this point. So they go fishing. All the disciples say, yeah, we're coming with you. We're coming with you. These are fishers. They fished in Galilee before. They've caught fish before, but this time they fish and they catch nothing. They catch nothing. And so all of a sudden, they hear this voice. Hey, have you caught anything? No. Well, throw it on the other side. They don't even ask questions. It's not like Peter's not a fisherman. It's not like he doesn't know how to fish. And it's like someone trying to tell you how to do your job. And it's only when you're just completely out of sorts that you just say, okay, whatever, I'll do it. And that's what they did. They didn't question anything. And they don't know it's the Lord. Again, the Bible says that the person who they were talking to, they didn't know who it was. They didn't know who it was, but they throw their net on the right side of the ship, and boom, fish, fish, fish. And all of a sudden, John says, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. I can see through all, with all of the chaos, with all of the uncertainty, all of a sudden they throw this net over on the other side. It's the Lord. How beautiful is it when you don't understand what's going on, that something can take place and you can just say, it's the Lord. And so they come to the shore, and you know, Peter just couldn't wait. He gets some clothes on. He goes to the shore to meet Jesus. Have you ever been in love? Some of you, married people have to raise their hand. It's like a law, right? You know, one of the coolest things that I think people enjoy to do is to cook for the one they love. So here they come, and Jesus knows they don't understand what's going on. Jesus is saying, look, yep, all of this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I made you breakfast. They come to the shore. He's already got the fish there. They've caught fish, yes, but the Bible says that when they came to the shore, they see coals of fire and fish on it. And bread. And it's as if Jesus is saying, I know you don't understand, but I made you breakfast. How sweet. That's God. You don't understand it all. And I don't need you to understand it all. But look, it's been a long night. You haven't caught a lot of fish. You still, you know, you're not even asking me who I am. I made you breakfast. I just want to do this for you. I just love you this much. And you don't get it. But I love you. And so now they sit down. And this is, to me, this is one of the most powerful things that takes place. After they've sat, after they've eaten, Jesus starts to, you know, get into it with Peter. You know, it's sort of like if, you know, I'm using Hugh, I'm picking on Hugh. You know, when Hugh has something to talk to me about, he doesn't just come right out, right? It's never like the first thing he says when he sees me. You wait a little while. Hey, how you doing? How have you been? And we'll do a little small talk. And then sooner or later he'll say, so what about such and such? Jesus lets them eat breakfast, man. Enjoy the food. Now Jesus then comes to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And what does Peter say? Does anyone read it? What did Peter say? Yes. And then he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, I love you. And Jesus says again, asks the third time, do you love me? And Peter's response is interesting when you see it in the Greek. He says, you know everything. You know I love you. There are, and many of you are aware of this, there are multiple words in the Greek that get translated into English. And that word love, there's multiple loves in the Greek, but we just translate it into one love in the English. So there's a, you know, kind of like a friendly love, and then there's this agape love. When you read the Greek part of it, this is how it sounds. Agape love is this intense love. Agape love is this amazing, I will do everything for you love. So this is how it sounds. It's Peter, do you have that agape love for me? And Peter responds, I'm fond of you. Peter, do you have that agape love for me? Are you really into me? And Peter responds,
I'm fond of you. I'm fond of you. Have you ever had someone ask you the question, do you love me? And you can't answer it without thinking of what the response is going to be if you answer a certain way. So it would have been easy if Peter might have just wanted to say, look, man, after all this denial, after all this craziness, yes, I agape love you. But instead of saying that, he just says, I'm fond of you. Phileo, the Greek word he uses. See, in English, it just translates love, but Peter's been through it all now. He's already been there where he's denied Christ three times. So now there's no, you know, the curtains have been pulled up, if you will. And so now it's like Peter's saying, look, I'm fond of you. And then the third time, Jesus changes the question. Doesn't look like it in English, but the third time Jesus changes the question, and then Jesus says to you, says to Peter, are you fond of me? That third time, Jesus doesn't say, Peter, do you agape love me? That third time, Jesus just comes down and says, okay, then Peter, you phileo me? You're fond of me? And Peter's response, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. You know I phileo you. But his knowing is different. He's now using a different word for the word know. And it's hard because you're getting into all this Greek and all this craziness. But basically, Peter's response is, you know, in general, you know everything. In general, because you're God, you know everything. You see everything. In general, you kind of know everything. But then he says, you know everything, you know. He uses two words. The first, you know everything, is just this general, this you know, observation from afar kind of thing. But then the second time when he says, you know everything, but you know, meaning that second you know is you've experienced me. That's that second time is Peter saying, Lord, you know everything, but aside from just knowing everything and being omnipotent, you've been there. You know everything. You know my faults. You know where I've fallen. You know that I've denied you. You know me. And sometimes it's hard because you don't imagine that you can always be honest with that question. Pedro, do you love me? What if Pedro really doesn't? But here is Peter. He's just like, the gig is up. Can I just be honest? And he just honestly says, I phileo you. And Jesus says, okay, so you just phileo me? And he says, you've experienced me, Lord. You've experienced me, Lord. You've seen it all. You've been there. I've nothing. No pride is here anymore. You've experienced me. I phileo you. I'm fond of you. And it's at that time that you almost would think, once you understand it in the Greek, you would almost think, okay, well, now the Lord is just going to cast him aside. Now the Lord is just going to be done with him, because who can really use someone who just comes and says, I'm fond of you? Somebody comes and they get baptized, and imagine if they're in their baptismal vows and we say, do you love Jesus? And he says, I'm fond of him. That's the best he does? You've been through all the lessons, 3 years, 3.5 years walking with Jesus, and he just says, I'm fond of him. What position would you put that person in? What nominating folks? What office would you nominate that person for? I'm fond of him. And so Jesus flips it all up and he says, you know what, Peter, I'm going to give you something to do. Feed my sheep. He doesn't just say, Peter, I want you to just sit and watch. I want you to see how John does it. I want you need to hang out with John a little bit longer. Jesus just came out and said, okay, I got it now. Because there's something with God that when we start to be honest with him, he can work with us. When we go on and we're just putting on the show and we're doing all these things and we're acting right, he can't really use us. But when we get to the point where we say, look, okay, I'll be honest with you, Lord. I'm fond of you. and you've experienced me and you've seen me at my worst, I'm fond of you. Then God can say, ha ha, I can work with that. That's good. Now you're being open. Now you're being honest. Now let's get to work. And the sheep at that time, just a few, right? You're talking about a band of folks. But those sheep grew. Those sheep grew. Peter's job, feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. If you ever think you can't be honest with God, know that God is not like man. Know that God, and know that God doesn't just oida, which is that Greek. It isn't like God just has an idea of you. He's just kind of aware that you're around. God has been there with you every time you've denied him. God, every time you in your mind, every time you have denied him, God is like, I'm right there with you. I'm experiencing it, and I'm hurt over it, but I'm right there with you. And if you would just be honest with me, I can use you. I can use you. Don't think you've got to get to this fillet, this agape love before God can say, we can work together. He doesn't do that. He doesn't wait until you get to this main, you know, and agape love is, this is the love of Christ. This is the love of Christ, and it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine, but you know, God takes him. In the book of Luke, when they meet, when Christ is calling them, Luke chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but when Christ is calling them the first time, you know, he calls them at the Sea of Galilee, and they had just not received any fish, and he had just told them what to do, and they put their nets in, and they drew fish. And now here they are again. Christ has been, you know, crucified and resurrected, and here they are again at the Sea of Galilee. They don't catch any fish, and then now they catch fish. It's like God saying, okay, I'm going to reteach you. We're going to start all over. We're going to start all over. Everything else is going to be in a new light. God is so willing to work with us. He is so willing. He is not like man. He is not like man. He will work with you. He will plead with you. He will be there with you. He will be patient with you. And he will still agape you, even if you phileo him. Even if you're fond, he will still agape you. He will still reach out to you because he died for you. I don't know. You know, there could be people here. And when I read this, when I looked at that, and the more I looked at it, you know, the more awesome I realized God was. You know, you go through life, and I just thought that you had to have all of this. If you've ever been there, where maybe you're not sure what it is you feel, but you know for a fact you're fond of God. You know for a fact that you're willing to follow God. You know for a fact that you're not going anywhere, but that you're not there. If you're willing to be honest with God, he'll work with you. Let's bow our heads. Father, you love us, you love us, you love us. And you love us with a love that, quite frankly, we don't understand. And when we're honest with ourselves, we can't even reciprocate that love back to you. Father, you don't just know us in a general sense, but you've been there when time after time after time we deny you, we walk away from you, we turn our backs on you. And yet, Father, you're still there. And you're there and you tell us, I love you. I made you breakfast. I love you. Feed my sheep. You give us work to do, Father. You employ us. You put us in your field. Father God, I pray that you will give us a desire to be honest with you
even if it hurts. Forgive us for when we haven't been honest. And I pray that you'll forgive us for making others possibly think that they need to be something beyond what they are, to be truly accepted by you. To be truly, Lord, let us know that you accept us automatically. We're your children. We are your children. Be with us throughout the rest of this Sabbath day and the rest of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Shepherd divine, I know thou art mine. Thy search in the night was for me. This great world is cold, but warm is thy fold. My Shepherd, I follow thee. Thy beautiful love shineth bright o'er my way. Thy glorious light unto thy perfect day. Through pastures serene, through valleys of green, my Shepherd, I follow thee. O Shepherd divine, I know thou art mine. Thy great heart was broken for me. Thy grace and thy law, I picture it.
Thank you for your love towards us. We're grateful that you give us the joy and the privilege of following you. We pray, Lord, that we won't just use this lightly. Lord, watch over us. Keep in our minds just how much you love us, regardless of our response. Cause us to have a desire to follow you. In Christ's name we pray.